This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Tom Brady, quarterback, New England Patriots, wrote a powerful piece. Marcus looked this up for me. I want to share it with you as I begin. He said, "Why do I have three Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me?" I mean, a lot of people would say, "Hey man, this is where it is. I reached my goal, my dream, my life. I think there's got to be more than this. I mean, this can't be what it's all cracked up to be. I love playing football and I love being quarterback for this team. But at the same time, I think there are a lot of other parts about me that I'm trying to find." Tom Brady discovered something we're going to read today, whether he knows it or not, from the book of Ecclesiastes, that anything in your life minus the Lord equals nothing. Write that down in your heart if you don't write it on your paper. Anything in my life minus the Lord God Almighty equals nothing. You're going to read today with me the man who had it all. Wine, women, song, you name it, he had it. Money. When I read the verse that says he didn't deny his heart anything he laid his eyes on, he meant that. He meant it sexually? Yeah, he meant it sexually. He meant it in every way. And yet he comes to the point in his life, get this, where he said it's all meaningless. And he came to the place, get this, he said, "I hated life. I hated life," because he realized anything minus the Lord equals nothing. We're in Ecclesiastes, the second chapter today. It's a series called Futile, The Meaning of Life. It's about losing the magic when the magic doesn't deliver. Chapter 2, Solomon is speaking, and he says, "I thought in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is foolish. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine." Wine was not only the alcohol beverage of the day, wine was the drug of the day. You wanted to self-medicate back then, you used wine. I mean, that's what everybody did. And so he said, "I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under heaven during the few days of their lives. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired men and women singers and a harem." It's the only time that word is used in the Old Testament, a harem. 700 wives, 300 concubines, 1,000 women altogether, for those of you that wanted to know as well. The delights of the heart of man. "I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me." Verse 10, "I denied myself nothing. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labor. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun." And I want you to read verse 17. We're going to look at a few more verses in a moment. But verse 17 says this, "So I hated life because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind."
Well, if you're like me, you find that absolutely incredible. A man who accomplished everything he set out to do, a man who had everything his heart dreamed of, and yet makes this assessment of his life. "I hate life. It's meaningless. It's just a chasing after the wind." We'll continue this series called Futile, The Meaning of Life, from the book of Ecclesiastes tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. Well, we continue our new series from the book of Ecclesiastes this week. We're in chapter 2, where Solomon, the author, says that he denied himself nothing that his eyes desired. He refused no pleasure that his heart desired. His heart took delight in all his work and all that his labor produced. And he said, "I surveyed everything I'd done and I realized it was all meaningless." And then Solomon, in the passage we study in Ecclesiastes 2, says, I hated life. Can you believe that? I hated life because all the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. It was all meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Let's continue this message we began yesterday from Ecclesiastes 2.
Think for a moment, how is it that you get everything that your heart ever wanted in life? You deny yourself nothing. Anything your eyes see that you wanted, and you gratify every desire. And he said, not only was everything meaningless, I hated life. Listen carefully. There are people who have a lot less in life who hate life. And people who have a lot less in life and find that life is meaningless because anything minus the Lord is meaningless. Anything in my life, minus the Lord God Almighty is nothing. It's meaningless. What does it mean when Solomon says that he had everything in terms of work, everything in terms of personal pleasure, his choice of alcohol, wine, I cheered myself with wine, and nothing delivered? He'd focused his life so much on getting what he wanted that everything disappointed. And here's an interesting observation. The more he got, the more he obtained, the more pleasure he had, the drunker he got, the more he experienced pleasure, the more desperate he became. Is that interesting to you? It is to me. The more that he took, the more that he had, the more he experienced, the more desperate he became in his realization that anything minus the Lord equals nothing. Some of you know who Warren Wiersbe is, author and Bible teacher. He used to teach years ago in Covington, Kentucky, at a Baptist church in Covington. He says, if you live for pleasure alone, enjoyment will decrease unless the intensity of that pleasure increases. Then you reach a point of diminishing returns where there is little or no enjoyment at all, only bondage. For example, the more that people drink, the less enjoyment they get out of the drinking. This means they must have more drinks, stronger drinks, in order to have pleasure. The sad result is that they have desire without satisfaction. Instead of alcohol, substitute drugs, gambling, sex, money, fame, or any other pursuit, and the principle will hold true. When pleasure alone is the center of your life, the result will ultimately be disappointment and emptiness. Would you listen to that again? When pleasure alone is the center of your life, the result will be ultimately disappointment and emptiness. Warren Wiersbe is absolutely right. Here's a man who denied himself nothing, achieved all of his goals, achieved all of his dreams, only to find out he hates life. How do you get there? By focusing on the wrong thing. I'm going to share with you a principle today that the key to loving life and not hating life is loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. For this reason, the more that you love the Lord, the more you will love life. The less you love the Lord, the less you will love life. And most people don't get that. The more you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, the more you will enjoy life.
Well, I honestly and truly believe that principle is true. The more you love the Lord, the more you're going to love your life and the things that make up your life. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you and thanks for listening.
Jean Harrison is a woman that writes a blog. She's a great writer, better writer perhaps than she even knows. I want you to listen to her observation about when life disappoints. I wanted security and you gave me chaos. I wanted esteem and you let me know shame. I wanted success and you handed me failure. I wanted your pleasure, Lord, but I experienced your pain. I wanted simplicity and you gave me troubles. I wanted grandeur and I was reduced to nothing. I wanted approval and you handed me rejection. I wanted your blessing, but I tasted your suffering. So I packed my frustration, all my complaints into two giant burlap sacks. The one sack I named bitterness and the other one disappointment, and I heaved them upon my back. Thus I began my journey to you because I needed an answer, you see, for all the things you promised me once and failed to deliver to me. I wanted comfort and you gave me character. I wanted completion and you gave me patience. I wanted glory. You gave me humility. I wanted your promise and you gave me your presence. I wanted ease and you gave me strength. I wanted cheap idols and you offered me true wealth. I wanted garbage and you gave me riches. I wanted your gifts and you gave me yourself. Listen to the last paragraph. And the names on the bags were rewritten, for God had seen fit to destroy both bitterness and disappointment and to name them steadfastness and joy. I fell to my knees and worshiped and cried, O God, all along you knew that deep in my heart, from the very beginning, all I really wanted was you. All I really wanted was you. I'm convinced that people don't know it, but in their search for things, in their search for pleasure, even in the sexual realm, everything that people are searching for and hungry for ultimately is a desire with a relationship with the living God, even when they don't know it. Listen carefully. There are things that God will bring into your life that won't come into your life any other way except through the Lord. Would you listen to that again? There are things that God will bring into your life that won't come into your life any other way. And you always thought it was connected to money. Do you realize how many people say, if we only had $5,000 more, we'd be okay? For some people, that's nothing. They say, I want $25,000. We need $100,000. We need $500,000. Then we would be happy. What's your price tag? What have you arbitrarily said and said, if we had that much money, everything would be cool. Everything would be okay. And then we remind ourselves that anything minus the Lord equals zero. I want you to read 17 and 18 again with me, and then we're going to read a couple more verses. 17, I read it already, but I'm going to read it again. So I hated life, because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Verse 18, I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. Isn't that interesting? Solomon came to a realization, I don't know if he was in his 40s, his 50s, 60s, 70s, where he looked at all he had and he said, I've got to hand this over to somebody else. How old would you have to be before you came to that realization? You know, some people, it's when they're in the ICU unit of the hospital, and through their semi-conscious state, they hear somebody say, he's got a few days at the most. And then I think they realize, why? Why did I focus so much on the temporary? Would that be the place where it would have to happen in your mind and in your psyche and your spirit in the intensive care ward of the hospital? Would you have to get to a nursing home? And then the realization hit you, this is all temporary and everything I've knocked myself out for is going to somebody else. It's all temporary. Then I want you to read verse 24 and 25, 26 with me. It's the first of several conclusion statements that Solomon makes in Ecclesiastes. Verse 24, a man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. For without him, without who? The Lord. Who can eat or even find enjoyment? To the man or woman who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, the person who ignores the Lord, that's what that means. The person who just says, I don't care about the Lord. I don't care about the Bible. I don't care about anything like that. The sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. What would it take for you to come to the place where you look at things? You look at physical objects, you look at your resume, you look at your stock portfolio, you look at your college education, you look at everything and say, you know, it's great, it's been fun, but it doesn't deliver. When will you wake up to the fact that the magic doesn't deliver, that only Christ delivers, and only a relationship with the God who made you through Christ the Son is what delivers? That's what Solomon discovered. God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. Do you get how significant that is? If God is the one who gives happiness, why would you look to $25,000 to do it for you? If God's the one who gives happiness, why would you look to $1 million or $5 million to do it? There's no amount of money that can do in your life what only God can do. Write that down. There's no amount of money in your life or my life that can do what only God can do. Some of you know or remember the name Chuck Colson. Chuck Colson was a Marine officer. He was the guy that worked for President Nixon years ago. He was in charge of the dirty tricks activity of the White House. That's how it's referred to by many people. Chuck Colson would come to the place in his life where a man named Tom would introduce him to the gospel of Christ. You know how he introduced him to the gospel of Christ? He said, Chuck, I want to give you a book called Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. And read that book and read the chapter on pride. Something lasered in on Chuck Colson. He realized, I am a person of pride. By the way, it's one of the most spiritual moments in your life when the Lord convicts you or me of pride. Because God gives His gifts or His grace to the humble, but He resists the proud man or proud woman. Do you know what that means? Just some of you heard me say this before. When the Bible says God resists a proud man or a proud woman, what it means is this. God becomes the opponent. God becomes the opponent of a proud man or proud woman. He's on the other side of the net. He's on the other side of the football field, to use that analogy. He becomes my opponent when I'm filled with pride. And you know what? I'm no match for the Lord, and neither are you. I am no match for the Lord, and neither are you.
Well, I'm going to ask you to make a real special effort to hear tomorrow's program, where I finish this story told by Chuck Colson, talking about his encounter with the living God through Christ. And it's a powerful story that you need to hear, I need to hear again, of Chuck Colson coming to Christ. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. If there's ever a message you'd like to hear again, including this message, just go to our website, crosshope.org, to listen to any message for that matter, or to find out more about a ministry we call Crosshope Radio Ministry. That's crosshope.org.
When the Bible says God resists a proud man or a proud woman, what it means is this. God becomes the opponent. God becomes the opponent of a proud man or proud woman. He's on the other side of the net. He's on the other side of the football field, to use that analogy. He becomes my opponent when I'm filled with pride. And you know what? I'm no match for the Lord, and neither are you. I am no match for the Lord, and neither are you. Chuck Colson would say this, probably some of the best wisdom that somebody's going to leave here today and say, I needed to hear that. Life isn't like a book. Colson says, life isn't like a book. Life isn't logical. Life isn't sensible. Life isn't orderly. For most people, life is a mess most of the time. How refreshingly honest to hear somebody say that. For most people, life is a mess most of the time. And your Christianity must be lived out in the midst of that mess. I love that. It says it all to me. Your Christianity, my Christianity, must be lived out in the midst of that mess. It's a humbling moment to say, my life's a mess, but it could be the most spiritual moment in some man's life today to say that. Could be a holy moment in a woman's life to say, my life is a mess, but Jesus Christ is complete, and He's the one that can meet anything in my life. He's the one who can deliver me from anything in my life. He is the Redeemer. He redeems your life from the pit, the Bible says. And most people live in a pit, whether they realize it or not, that something in their life has become a form of bondage, a form of drudgery, and the very things we thought we had to have become the very thing that destroys us and the thing we hate. What would it take in your life to believe that what Solomon says is true? What would have to happen? Would you have to have a crisis of health personally? Would you have to have a crisis of health with a family member? Would you have to lose the house? Would you have to lose a car? Would you have to lose a job or a career? Or is it possible that today you can say it's all connected to Him? And any happiness, any wisdom, any knowledge comes from the Lord. And when you acknowledge that, you know what happens? You start to enjoy life. When you recognize the giver of life in your life, you start enjoying life. When you start giving credit to Him, you start enjoying your life, so you don't have to be like Solomon and say, I hate life. You see, 1 Peter 3:10, I think, and Psalm 34:12 says we can love life. Who are the people that love life? The people that love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their minds. Decide. Decide. Anything minus the Lord equals nothing. 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 Let's pray together. Lord, this is a powerful passage for somebody today. Somebody, I don't know who it is, but you know, who came to hear this today and who is feeling the presence of your word in their life in a way they'd never felt it before. But right now, in this moment, they're saying to themselves, there it is. All your life you've been looking for it, and there it is. It's in the Lord God Almighty. Bless people who need to acknowledge you today, who need to start loving you, and then realizing when we love you, we start enjoying life.
Well, my friend, is it possible that's true in your life or my life? I believe it could be. You need the Lord in your life just like I need the Lord in my life. We need to have Him first. Our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.